But God says, listen, there is something that you can rejoice in continually, no matter what. Your names are written in heaven. No one can take that away from you.
What happens when you get a large group of healthy children together at a family gathering? Most of the time, it will be a joyful experience. But how can you set things right if a few of the kids start being unruly? On a larger scale, a pastor is always pleased to see his spiritual children gather to worship the Lord. But how should a pastor respond if he sees a few of them misbehaving? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Apostle Paul was pleased that the believers in Thessalonica were mostly behaving well. But at the end of his first letter to them, Paul felt the need to set a few things right. The principle Paul set forth are very applicable to us today, as Pastor J.D. will explain in the message, The Healthy Church Body.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? You may remember that we're talking about what is a healthy church, how to maintain a healthy church, a healthy congregation. Part 3 here, beginning at verse 16, the mirage. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'd like to look at 10 reasons why we may rejoice. These are all biblical reasons. Number one, I rejoice because God is on my side, regardless of my circumstances. I like that. Psalm 28, verse 7 said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. And with my song, I will praise him. Psalm 28, 7. In spite of present difficulties, listen, the Bible says that God, if you are a child of God, God is on your side. He is there for you. He is there to strengthen you. He is there to be your shield. You may put your trust in him. Therefore, because of that, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I may praise him. Number two, God has redeemed me. God has redeemed me. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and notice with me, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Listen, I have peace with God through Christ Jesus. It's a free gift. 1 Peter 1:8 and 9 says, speaking of Jesus, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. God has redeemed us through Jesus Christ, his Son. And regardless of what circumstances may be taking place in your life, that can never be taken away. Number three, I rejoice because of the work of the Holy Spirit within my life. Romans 14, 16 and 17, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace, and notice, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You have this ministry of the Holy Spirit working within you 24/7. And the Bible says it's joy, it's peace, and it's joy. Usually the question is, are we yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing that peace? And are we allowing his joy? Number four. I rejoice because of the spiritual blessings that are mine in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 3 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know what that means? That means we can lose our home here on earth. We may lose our jobs. We may lose our car. but you can never take away the spiritual blessings that every one of us have in Christ Jesus that we get to enjoy forever. And we enjoy now. Now, here's one we all kind of run from. This seems like another one of those mirage passages. Number 5, I rejoice because God is orchestrating all things for good on my behalf. All things. James 1, 2, and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I like the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. How many of us think that way? Do you think that way? Not in the flesh, we don't, do we? That's a spiritual thing, man. I could never think that way in the flesh. But the Bible says that as I learn to trust in God and realize that every circumstance, all that I'm going through, the difficulties, regardless of how hard it is, that I can rejoice because God has allowed that into my life for a purpose. Because he wants to make me more and more like Jesus Christ. He wants to conform me into the, and listen, that only comes through, many times, through difficult trials and hardship. So we can count that all joy when we go through trials. Number 6, I rejoice because God is always with me. The Bible declares that he will never leave me or forsake me. Psalm 16, 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. Does it bring comfort to you? Just to know that regardless of what your circumstances are, listen, God doesn't leave you, forsake you. You may have a friend that leaves you. You may have a husband that leaves you or a wife that leaves you. But the Bible says God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he is always there for you. And we rejoice in that. What number was that? Just testing you, making sure you're awake. All right. Number 7. I rejoice because of the future glory that I will have in heaven with Jesus Christ. In Luke's Gospel chapter 10, we read about the 70 disciples. You remember how they went out and they performed miracles and they evangelized. And it said when they came back, they were like the missionaries coming back from Africa. They were happy. They were jubilant. Oh, you should see what took place, what happened while we were in Africa. Great news, glorious news. Jesus responds with a very fascinating statement, I believe. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You see, you may go out one time and you may not have that experience. In fact, they may run you right out of town. But God says, listen, there is something that you can rejoice in continually, no matter what. Your names are written in heaven. No one can take that away from you. Number 8, how about answered prayer? We rejoice in that. John 16, 23 and 24 says, and in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive. And it says that your joy may be full. God expects and intends for you to be joyful because when you ask in his name according to his will and you receive that which you ask for in faith, the Bible says that your joy is full. How many have prayed prayers, even maybe this past week, and you've seen answers to those prayers? How many of you have seen answers this week to something you've been praying about for a long time? Does it cause you to rejoice? As you just say, wow, Lord, you know, I never thought that would have happened. I didn't think that, I just thought it was an impossible situation and I had written it off. And then you see that answer to prayer and you're just, oh, Lord, that's so good. I rejoice in that. Number 9, I rejoice in the gift of God's word. Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Number 10, and I really like this one, I rejoice because I have fellowship with you. And you have fellowship with me, and together our fellowship is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:3-4. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. John here in his letter is speaking about Jesus Christ, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Fellowship with each other, gathering together like this. Listen, it is a joy and it is a privilege to come together in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To worship him together. Just to be here and to hear the praises of the people together, rejoicing and praising God. It's a wonderful, it's a privilege, and it brings joy to our hearts. But we are centered upon the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we share that common Lord, and we rejoice in this. 10 reasons. As you have looked at these reasons, you begin to realize that though our temporal circumstances may be difficult, whatever you're going through right now is maybe a very trying time. But the Bible says that we can still rejoice because each one of these I've listed, they're not temporal, they're what? They're eternal. And you see, that which is eternal can never be taken away from you. That which is temporal can always, you can lose it. But God has guaranteed you that that which is temporal can never be taken away. He's redeemed me. He's with me. He never leaves me. He gives me the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's reserved for me unimaginable blessings in heaven. He has given to me his word, and I have the privilege of fellowship and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I will rejoice. So Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Number 2, in verse 17, Paul writes, pray without ceasing. This is a second mark of a healthy relationship with God. Now again, pray without ceasing, another mirage passage here. It seems like, okay, who can do that? I can't do it. And when I reach for it, it's just not there. What does he mean by praying without ceasing? Well, the phrase without ceasing means to be praying continually or consistently. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is simply talking with God. It's having a conversation with, that's exactly what prayer is. It's having a conversation with God. When I talk to you, we just call it fellowship or visiting. But when I'm talking to God and he is speaking to me, we call that prayer. Jesus was in constant communion with the Father. In Matthew's gospel, we read that after a full day of ministering to people, Matthew writes in chapter 14, verse 23, he says, and he sent the multitudes away. He went up to the mountain by himself to pray. According to Acts 1:14, the disciples prayed continually. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. As leaders of the early church, the apostles were given over to prayer and ministering of God's word. According to Acts chapter 12, verse 11 through 16, the church prayed diligently for Peter's release from prison. Prayer is vital to spiritual health. You cannot be healthy spiritually. You cannot have a healthy relationship with God the Father or with his Son Jesus Christ if you are not in regular prayer. It doesn't happen. That's like saying that I can be muscle man without ever going to the gym and working out. It doesn't happen, does it? You see, it takes something from you. It takes a commitment to spend time and to set aside time away from other things to be with him, to talk to him. How many of you could enter into a healthy relationship? Maybe you meet someone and you really like that person. You know, when you met your, those of you who are married, you met your husband or your wife. How far would that relationship have gone if, you know, they're talking to you and you're just, respond with a nod, I almost got tripped up by that because I was so quiet. My wife said, I don't know if, you know, she told me later, you know, 24 years later. She said, you know, you were so quiet. I didn't know if I could continue dating you because you never said anything. Some of you wives can probably relate to that. But how many of you could enter into a healthy mutual relationship without communication, without talking? But you see, we try to do that with God. We desire to have a relationship with God. We would like to, but we never set aside time and just spend with Him and talk to Him and allow Him to talk to us. And then we wonder why we're falling and we're struggling with sin and we're being overcome by the flesh and prayer. I believe a healthy church depends upon praying people. Without praying people, we cannot have a healthy fellowship. It doesn't happen. It takes prayer. I read this story some time ago, several years ago, and I found it again as I was researching this message, and it was a story about five young college students who went to hear the famous preacher, C.H. Spurgeon. And while they were waiting for the doors to open, they were greeted by a man who asked and who said to them, "Gentlemen, let me show you around. Would you like to see the heating plant for this church?" Now you have to remember, this is way back. It happened to be a hot day in July, though, and the students really didn't care about seeing the heating plant of the church, but they didn't want to be rude. And so they said, okay, we'll see the heating plan of the church. And so the young men were taken down a stairway, and there at the bottom, a door was quietly opened, and their guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." And as these five young college students peered through the open door, they saw this sea of over 700 people praying before the service. The guide whispered, "This is our heating plant." Softly, he closed the door and then introduced himself, and it was none other than Charles Spurgeon. You see, Charles Spurgeon recognized within even the success of his own ministry that it really wasn't his success. It was God working through him according to the prayers of so many people. And listen, that is the key to ministry. Praying people. Are you praying for the church? Are you praying for the fellowship? Are you praying for the pastor? Are you praying for its leaders? Are you praying that the gospel would go forth? Are you praying that God would do a work in those who come? We need praying people. That's what the church needs. Praying people. But it says here that we're to pray without ceasing, continually, consistently. I read an account about early Africans that converted to Christianity, and it was reported that each of them had a separate spot in the bush where they would go and pour out their hearts before God. And over time, the paths to these places became well-worn trails. As a result, if one of these believers began to neglect prayer, it was soon apparent to the others. And they would kindly remind the one who had become negligent. They would say, "Brother, the grass grows on your path." Brothers and sisters, does the grass grow on your path? Have you established a path? Is there a place of prayer? Does prayer have a place in your life, consistent and continual prayer? Regular time with Jesus Christ. Is the path there? Or does grass grow on the path that was once well worn? Thirdly, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And finally, in verse 18, number 3, Paul writes, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. Seem like another mirage? Oh, you have no idea what I'm faced with this week, what I've gone through last week. How am I supposed to give thanks for my circumstances that I'm in? How do I give thanks? For some, it's cancer. How do I give thanks? Others, it's the death of a loved one. How do I give thanks? How do I give thanks in everything? Listen, I'm the one that had to prepare the message, and it wasn't easy to come to a passage like this and realize, you know, I haven't given thanks in everything. There are so many things I still don't give thanks for. And yet the scripture says, in everything, give thanks. I find it easy to give thanks when I have a good job, when I'm making plenty of money, maybe have a nice car, a new car. It's easy to give thanks. Oh, Lord, thank you for blessing me. What wonderful thank you. Oh, Lord, you're so good. And then I find out that a close friend has died. Oh, Lord, thank you. How do we do that? My father-in-law, he went to a specialist up in Temple after struggling with this for over a year. They finally found some doctors that it would seem could help them. They'd been going for some time, and I will say that on my mother-in-law particularly, it's been a real difficult time. She was in the waiting room waiting for some tests to be completed on my father-in-law. She walked over to the desk there, the receptionist desk, and there happened to be a little devotional. It's one of those little flip-over things. And it was this passage, verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And as she looked at it, she realized, you know, that's the wrong date. That's the previous day. That was yesterday. Somebody had forgot to flip it. So she flipped it over and realized the one for today had nothing to do. It didn't minister to her at all. So she flipped it back and she realized, you know, God intended for her to see that passage. Furthermore, she went and she sat down, and this elderly lady came and sat down next to her. And this elderly lady was talking to her about how they had come from Georgia to Texas, and they didn't know why they were there. Why are we here? But it just so happened to be that that group of doctors up there in Temple were specialists, and health crisis after health crisis after health crisis that were potentially fatal, these doctors were able to save her husband. And she said, this for me has been a lesson in faith. I have come through this to learn to trust God and have faith in Him regardless of what the circumstances look like. And I give thanks for that. And my faith is being built. I believe the message is very clear. In everything, give thanks, everything. For this is the will of Christ Jesus for you, for each one of us. We may not understand what it is we're going through. We may not understand our circumstances. We may not understand our present pain, our suffering. But the Bible says in everything, give thanks, because this is the will of Christ Jesus for you.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.